a Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 215, which I'm calling Back To, as in back to Tennessee and other things. How are you doing this fine day? I hope everything is going good for you. Things are looking up here, which I'll get into in a moment. So, why am I just sitting here blabbing nonsense into my microphone then? Let me get the ball rolling and start this thing. Before I get started, I have an update about our attempt to move from the formerly great, well, maybe not great, but okay state of New York. If you were listening to last episode, I told of our trip down to Tennessee and us finding a house to buy. I figured the mortgage process wouldn't be done for at least a month, if not longer, and I used past experience to come to that conclusion. I'm here to tell you that a lot has changed since I last applied for a mortgage way back in 1998. Besides everything from the original application to the uploading of documents are all now electronically done, the whole process moves much quicker than it did back in what I find myself referring to as the day. Back then, it took us about a month and a half to just get approval, with another couple of weeks to wrap things up. This time around, I applied for the mortgage on April 16th and received the approval on the 22nd. That's a mere 6 days. Could have been quicker, but I had a hard time getting a couple of things uploaded concerning my military retirement. We're scheduled for a walkthrough of our new home on May 15th and close on the property about the 25th. So it's official. I'm moving to Tennessee. And as you can tell, I'm excited about it. When I actually get to make that move is to be determined. I'm projecting early July. Now I need you to wish me luck on the quick sale of my New York property. A prayer or two wouldn't hurt either. Tech news. It's finally happening. The most anticipated tech event of the year, well, so far, at least according to the Apple-centric tech press, is scheduled for May 7th. The digital event only is called Let Loose, and of course, we'll probably be seeing those new iPads that some folks seem to be drooling over. I have no tech purchase plans for the near term, so I'm not overly excited about this event. The question is, will I even bother watching it?
Yes.
Well, being an over-the-hill geek, it's required watching for me. We already know about the iPads, but I like watching to see if the giant fruit company sneaks other things in. That, and to see if the so-called insiders' predictions come true or not. Continuing with Apple news, CNET.com has the following headline. Apple may give fine woven accessories one more season before ending the line, unquote. Well, who didn't see this one coming? The article quotes an Apple leaker named Kasutami, who I understand has a pretty good track record. I'm surprised Apple will even try selling this product for another year. According to Kasutami, Apple has already ceased production of the cardboard-like material that is fine-woven that the company hoped to replace leather with. I guess there was enough excess supply of fine-woven material in order to continue making accessories for another year. I'm familiar with the phone cases made from this garbage, and I mean garbage literally, as it's made from post-consumer recycled content. My lovely wife and I sampled cases made of fine woven material during a visit to our Apple store. To say the least, we weren't impressed with them. They sort of resembled suede, but sure didn't feel like the real suede, not even close. Then came the videos of how fragile these cases were and their tendency to be dirt magnets, with users complaining that the cases looked years old after a couple of weeks' use. In the past, every time I bought an iPhone, I also bought an Apple leather case to go along with my new purchase. Last year, there was no option to do that, so I purchased a case from Nomad. The Nomad case is fine, but I preferred Apple's version better. Why don't Apple just make an imitation leather case? I guess that wouldn't be environmentally sound enough to manufacture for Apple. Oh well, less money for them. As I reported on in the last episode, Google fired 28 employees who staged a sit-in at company offices in California and New York in order to protest the Big G's Project Nimbus contract with the government of Israel. According to Axios.com, Google has said additional useful idiot employees have gotten the axe since. These particular employees were fired after an internal investigation revealed they were directly involved in disruptive activity, according to the company. Not one ounce of sympathy for these radicals from this old fart. This is not about the Palestinians. This is just another event in the attempt to sow chaos throughout society. Look no further than the ideology-riddled college campuses all over this country. Anyway, Google has and is doing the right thing here. There are many deserving people willing to take these fired workers' jobs, and they would be grateful to do so. The time we're going through currently is like the late 1960s through early 1970s, and I know this because I lived through it. Google Meet now lets you transfer between Android, iOS, and the web without hanging up, reads the headline from ZDNet.com. Back when my son rocked an Android device, I used Google Meet to communicate with him. Well, actually, I used it to test out my new webcam using him as a test subject. The latest version of Google Meet will now allow you to do everything that the headline describes, putting the video conferencing app's features on par with Microsoft Teams and COVID star Zoom. Google's Meet app is one of the more solid software products from within Google's stable, and it's good to see the company steadily improving it. Myself, I use Microsoft's Teams for my non-personal video conferencing. Besides being the standard for the U.S. government, most businesses also use it. Speaking of which, I've been getting a lot of spam messages on Teams lately for some reason. As far as security hole-ridden Zoom goes, I've made my opinion of that app known many times before. Tech I'm using. Previously, I discussed buying a hard copy of MS Office, which was going for under $40 at the time. By hard copy, I mean a copy that resided on my hard drive. This would be in lieu of MS-365, which charges a monthly or yearly subscription in order to use it. Though the hard copy was an older version, 2018 in this case, with no future updates inbound, I reasoned that this, combined with my $2 OneDrive subscription, will let me have an online-connected world-standard office suite suitable for my limited uses. I failed to act on that purchase and started regretting that decision while going through the financial process for my new home. Part of the process was writing statements about various circumstances which could speed things along and enhance my chances of getting the mortgage. The problem was that the lenders wanted these statements in the PDF format. I was working against a deadline and couldn't figure out how to print to PDF while using Pages. I do have an MS-365 basic subscription, which allows me access to the web version of Word, which was what I wound up using. Using Word, you select File, then Print to PDF. Easy peasy. Now that the dust has settled and the financial process is complete, I took the time and figured out how to accomplish this simple task using Pages. It's almost the same as Word. You select File, Print, but at the bottom of the dialog box, there's a small PDF box you have to click on, which opens a submenu which includes the Save as PDF option. It's not as straightforward as Word, but now that I know how to do it, I have no need for Word, unless formatting problems come up. For that, I'll gladly still pay the 2 bits per month for a MS-365 basic subscription. Besides, I can use the extra OneDrive space included with that subscription. During my recent house hunting excursion, I brought along my very expensive Philips Sonicare Diamond Cleaned Smart 9750 toothbrush, which was top of the line when I purchased it back in 2021. I didn't bother bringing the cool rinsing glass charger it came with, because I knew I would only be gone a few days and a fully charged handle should easily have enough juice in its battery to last that long. Well, the toothbrush worked well for the entire trip, but upon getting back to New York, its now almost depleted battery refused to take a charge. I tried resetting the handle, updating the firmware, and switching chargers, but nothing worked.
Oh no!
After obtaining the required permissions from the one who must be obeyed, you know the old saying, happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
I received permission to order an equally expensive Philips Sonicare 9900 Prestige, the current top-of-the-line model from the company. I had debated buying one of the Philips competitor brands, but I like the normal brush head shape of the Philips versus the circular one of, like, let's say, the Oral-B. The old version, Diamond Clean, is slightly more expensive than the newer Prestige model, but besides the rinsing glass charger, you get more brush heads with the Diamond Clean. Thanks to Amazon's same-day delivery, I had the new toothbrush in hand in time for my pre-bed ritual. Unlike the old Diamond Clean, the Prestige depends on the accompanying app for setting most advanced features, and the lone button on the handle is now solid-state versus the dual mechanical type of the older model. The problem I ran into was logging into the app with my account credentials. Without that, I couldn't use most of the advanced features or store brushing data. The app wouldn't let me create a new account either. I'd go through the process, but like the regular sign-in attempts, I was kicked out to a blank screen. I even tried deleting and reinstalling the app, which resulted in the same outcome. I then had a 30-minute interaction with Philips contracted out customer service, who read me a checklist of things I'd already done, before telling me to return the darn toothbrush back to Amazon. Well, I knew the hardware wasn't the problem, it was the app. After considering getting my money back from Amazon, I remembered that I use an ad blocker on my phone's browser. Could it be possible that the app kicked me out to a browser in order to sign into my account?
Yes.
I paused the ad blocker and tried to sign in again, and voila, I was finally able to sign into my Philips account. Since then, the toothbrush has been working great. I appreciate the more quiet motor, and the solid-state button prevents gunk from leaking into the switches like it did with the older model. I just hope that I get more than 3 years out of the thing, especially for the high price I paid for it. Though it was amongst my list of subscriptions to purge upon my retirement, I've went back to Spotify Premium. I have and use Apple Music, which I'm very satisfied with, but Spotify has introduced a feature you just can't get with a basic subscription with any other media playing app currently, and that's audiobooks. I used to be an avid reader, and I consumed these books on my Amazon Kindle Voyage, which I've had since 2018. Before that, I used a Kindle Paperwhite and the original Kindle. Before using Kindle, I used a Sony Reader. Since 2021, though, my book reading has fallen off. It's fallen off so much that I couldn't even tell you where my Kindle Voyage is at the moment. Still wanting to consume books, though, I've looked into Amazon's Audible audiobook service numerous times, but just couldn't convince myself to justify the $8 basic monthly subscription plan, much less the $15 per month premium subscription's price tag. When I heard that Spotify was now featuring audiobooks, I made sure that the feature didn't require an add-on subscription. I found that it doesn't. If you're a premium subscriber, which is $11 per month, you get to listen to 15 hours of audiobooks per month gratis. That's about 2 audiobooks per month, and that satisfied my needs. This was a smart move by Spotify. I mean, it got me to resubscribe to it. With my now inevitable move to Tennessee and hopefully a slower lifestyle, I hope to get back into an old hobby of mine, shortwave radio listening. I caught the bug back around 1983. My girlfriend at the time left to live with her family in Las Vegas, Nevada, leaving me alone and bored up in central New York. On a lark, I purchased a Radio Shack DX302 and soon was replaced by a Yaesu FRG7700. I hand-carried that modern boat anchor with me to South Korea, where, upon my first use of it there, heard the old Soviet Radio Moscow talking about Kunsan Air Force Base, where I was assigned. That was sort of eerie. Over the years, I've bought many shortwave receivers, with the Yaesu FRG100 being the last tabletop-type listening box I acquired. The internet has basically killed off shortwave listening, but there's still many interesting things to listen to. I used to love catching those spy number stations. Nowadays, there are only a few left. But who knows? Perhaps they will make a comeback someday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Entertainment news. Yeah, I've got nothing. I haven't had much time to keep up with entertainment because my attention, which has a short span, was being focused on first finding a place to relocate to and now on selling the old place and moving to the new one. I finished the seasons of Shogun, which was great, and watched the latest Jason Statham vehicle, The Beekeeper, which was a return to the good old mindless action adventure type film. I'm still watching Will Trent and the Cleaning Lady on Hulu, and the latter just getting ridiculous now, and Beacon 23, which, while being interesting, seems to have lost some of its mojo in this second season. While watching the series Sugar on Apple Plus, there was a scene where the protagonist, played by Colin Farrell, is on his laptop, which happens to be an older MacBook Pro, equipped with the now-defunct taskbar. Though the taskbar was derided, heck, even held in contempt by most Apple highbrows, I sort of miss it. I did find function with it, probably because of my modified hunt-and-peck method of typing. I wish Apple would have kept the taskbar around as a option, at least. Podcast news. According to the Pod News newsletter, the old tech podcast network TWiT, which stands for This Week in Tech, has announced that it's closing the network studio. I've previously discussed TWiT's financial woes and the reason I feel the network is suffering them. Closing the studio makes good financial sense as most of the guests and show hosts seem to be participating remotely anyway. The only host that's routinely in studio is the founder of TWiT, Mr. Leo Laporte himself. When TWiT does go completely remote, I hope old Leo has the same quality of audio. I don't know if it's his voice or what, but he gets the best sound out of the HAL PR40 microphone he uses that I've ever heard. Well, some of that sound most likely is because of his audio engineer, which I'll bet he'll be keeping. The engineer will just work remotely like the host and guest will be. Laporte says he'll be using StreamYard for recording once the studio closes. Laporte claims that the closure is to help the environment.
Okay.
But that's just putting on a happy face for show. And it's a good virtue signal. I mean, he's located in California after all. TWiT has been in the current studio for over 13 years. You know, I have some nostalgia for Mr. Laporte. I remember hearing him on the radio, usually while driving around in my car. Much like I have nostalgia for the tech writers and journalists of yore. Especially from Byte magazine, which shuttered back in 1998.
What?
Wow, how time flies. I remember reading articles by John C. Dvorak, and especially like the late Jerry Pournelle's View from the Chaos Manor column. Feel free to search the internet for those names.
Yes.
Those were the exciting and heady days of personal computing, akin to the early aughts mobile computing, i.e. smartphone boom. I wonder what the next frontier of technology will be. AR and VR are the predicted frontier, but I don't think they will be. What do you think it will be? Oh, and don't even mention. back to is the title and the theme that's running through this episode. And as part of that, I'm informing you that I've gone back to the Podcast 2.0 listening app, Cast-O-Matic.
What?
Because of Cast-O-Matic's lower subscription price, which is the lowest of iOS Podcast 2.0 compliant apps, it's become one of the most popular. Sure, you don't get all the latest and greatest 2.0 features, but Cast-O-Matic has the basic ones. Features like being able to use the podcast index instead of Apple's, and being able to donate to the shows via the SAT electronic currency model. Now, if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know I've experienced bugs and other problems with Cast-O-Matic, but the developer has seemed to have resolved these issues. The biggest gripe I had with Cast-O-Matic was that I couldn't get it to autoplay the next episode or show. This problem has been resolved now, and I'll be canceling my subscription to Pocket Casts.
What?
Again, and Podcast Guru. Unless Cast-O-Matic starts bugging out once more, I don't see me returning to those other apps. Because Cast-O-Matic has become so popular, the lone developer, who's a physician in real life...
What?
No, really, he is finally making money and is putting more time into the app. In my opinion, I think Cast-O-Matic has the best UI of all the podcasting 2.0 apps out there. I've previously subscribed to Podverse, Podcast Guru, and Fountain, and I have had problems with all of them. So here's hoping Cast-O-Matic continues being stable and continues adding features. Well, continuing with the theme of this episode, it's back to a rant. Well, sort of. It's come to my attention that Gen Z believes they're aging faster than millennials are. And there just might be something to this. What could be causing this, do you think?
I don't know.
Well, in my opinion, the number one reason for that generation's so-called premature aging is their addiction to social media. I've given up on social media because it always leaves me upset while and after using it. Anger is not something that's good for your body or your mind. Another thing, especially for females, is the use of Botox and getting plastic surgery at such a young age. Oh, and dining on processed food doesn't help things either. Gen Z, or Zed, appears to me as being overly sensitive about everything. Again, offended or angered about every little thing. For what it's worth, my advice is to grow some thicker skin, do the best you possibly can, get away from constantly looking at your screen, stop blaming older generations for most if not all of your problems, and stop thinking you're a victim and start enjoying your life. It's the little things that count most of all. I know you probably think your generation has it tough, and some within your generation do have it tough, but as a whole, your generation has had it easier than all the other generations that still share this planet with you. Well, okay. Boomer out. Well, the music is playing and I'm all tuckered out. I've got a lot on my plate for the time being, so I'll end the episode here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and it's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Hey, is that pollen bothering you yet? Well, me either, but your presence is starting to. So why don't you get off my lawn? Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.